Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It's a dramatic situation that's happening in California, where there's a race to dig deeper for wells in the underground lakes, kind of. The underground rivers or the underground reserves of water are getting rarer and rarer. They're getting dried up, and on top of it, they're getting consumed because you drill a well up to a certain depth and someone else who's a big farmer or whatever, he has the means to drill much further down and he's pumping water until you don't have water anymore in your well. It's absolutely dramatic. It's what happens when you live around people. That's why Jean-Paul Sartre was saying hell is the other. Other people are really what wastes this world. Too bad, but many Californians find themselves with non-working wells because they've been drilled too high with respect to the modern standard of the level of water, which probably was good was good at the time they drilled it, but it's not good anymore given that the farmers now consume too much water. They empty the water reserves in the ground, and it's as was explained in There Will Be Blood. You know how I've used the thumbnail, the moment of this movie where the big oil driller explains to the priest, look, I'm draining your milkshake. I'm slurping with a straw until you have nothing left on your land. I don't have to buy the land from you because I drained from all the lands around you. It's what's happening to Californians, and it's threatening the availability of water. Some people are stuck going to buy water, bring it to their home in bottles, and it must be costly, time-consuming, and energy-consuming. Silver Spider says, California won't have water, but at least they'll have reparations for slavery. Yes, why you would still live in California, that's a mystery to me. But I hear that some people are living in Southern California. Some of our audience were talking in the regular chat, and he's saying his water doesn't really come from these reserves. It comes from the neighboring state and its mountains. Blackwater Park says, yeah, consuming the water table faster than it's been replenished, so the level is going down. Shouldn't have imported so many people, I guess. Yes. I don't know if it's the number of people. I mean, indirectly, it could be. If you overpopulate your area, there's a pressure, no matter if it's through people having the money to buy food or the state just giving away welfare and food stamps and whatever. At some point, it puts pressure on your agriculture, and the agriculture must be more productive. And of course, it requires more surface and more water. Blackwater Park says, could be agriculture, to be fair. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's both. Ultimately, agriculture takes so much space because there are so many people to feed. No More Brother War, that is an article at Transcendental Titans. Very interesting. I agree. I have to accept this empirical observation, although it wasn't what came to mind when I looked at the Ukraine and Russia war. I see it mostly as, all right, we have a force, Russia, challenging the Western hegemony, and that is good. That is good no matter what. And he says that in the blog post, but he says more. He thinks war is good for the European people. And you know, I don't like war. I'm not a warmonger. I hate war, generally. But you have to give him respect for this statement, this empirical observation that, look, within Western civilization, there has been peace for decades now, in the sense that we harass and we attack other nations outside of Western civilization, but we don't fight inside. And he says that has been going very bad for us. He's right. He's right. He says, to answer that question, we require a realistic assessment of who we truly are, those who lament the sight of brother fighting brother once again on European soil fundamentally misunderstand that conflict is the central dynamo of our people. As historian Niall Ferguson puts it, competition is one of the killer apps of Western civilization. With this in mind, we must view this war not only as a crisis, but an opportunity to remake Europe in our image. Perhaps we are set on a natural selection course, or perhaps evolution has shaped us such that we are at our worst when we don't compete with the best around us and in an existential manner. Perhaps France and England wouldn't have become what they have become and wouldn't have colonized the world if it wasn't of the conflict that existed between the two. When you think about it, perhaps American liberty is born from the fear of conflict and the pressing desire of those big nations of Western Europe to out-compete the other. So very good article. I suggest you guys go read it. Although it's not my... As a libertarian and as someone who really hates war, it's not my first go-to thought, but I have to accept that this is maybe true, probably true, that the European people ultimately is bound in a fatalistic... Either you fight for your life and you're good in that, or you end up killing yourself through slow degrading of your own nation through your generosity. Kovi Killa says, Jeff, hello Jeff, imagine they didn't send $40 billion to Ukraine. They could set up desalination plants and vast irrigation systems and get rid of the fires also. Certainly there must be solutions for $40 billion to to getting freaking water. Certainly. I don't know about desalination. I think, I mean, this might sound cruel. I think desalination requires too much energy for what a human body is worth. I think the day we reach the point where we have to give welfare desalinated water to people, it's the end. It's not sustainable. I think it's just too costly. Now, you could have a slow desalination by evaporation processes. I guess that would be feasible. But in terms of desalinating it with like at industrial scales with electricity and all, I think the energy is not worth it. I think we would be engaged in a project that inevitably would be unsustainable long term. We would be keeping too many humans alive with too much water. NASA's Perseverance rover begins key search for life on Mars. I have an extreme interest in this happening and this resulting in some finding about early life forms, because if it so happens that Mars had life too, then it's probably going to be life in our lineage, in the sense that it's probably going to be that the life on Mars was originated from Earth and through a collision or something spread to Mars, or it will be the inverse. Life was on Mars and eventually populated the Earth. Or perhaps a third theory, there was an original life form that was kind of living on asteroids in the early solar system, and it infected both Mars and Earth parallelly. But any of these three findings would be great, and any finding along the lines of, well, what was the replicator of this life form? Because I've predicted that early life forms had RNA replicators, not a big prediction because it's the RNA world, but also that it had protein replicators. That's a bigger prediction. And also, most importantly, that it had reverse translatase from protein to RNA. Any of these findings would be a confirmation of the theory of phenotypic revolution in a stunning way. But anything we can discover there, I'm super interested. However, so what they're doing up to now, they've been observing they've been going to craters where it's melted rocks. It's rocks, the kind of rocks that emerges from molten material like volcanoes or meteorite collisions. So in these places, the chances that you'll find traces of life are extremely low. But where the Perseverance rover is headed now is in the River Delta in Jezero Crater. And that's a place where sedimentary rocks exist. So presumably it was an old river. So you would have the chance to get what you have on Earth, where we do find fossils on Earth. It's a laying out of rocks progressively by a water stream, a slow water stream that just deposits layers of rock. In this, you have much more chance of preserving some structure that we could say, well, that's likely to have come from life. Perhaps not something like a mollusk, not something as clear as this, but you could have kind of branches of developments of spores or developments of some microorganism that we could say, ah, you know what, that's unlikely to form in natural context where there's no life. So I'm crossing fingers. Let's be clear, though, the chances are very low. I don't think we're going to find life. I think the chances for life to both exist on Mars, to have existed on Mars, we don't know that it did, but also to have survived about 4 billion years, because I don't expect life on Mars to have been present a couple of million years ago. It's probably a couple of billion years ago if it had to be. Unfortunately, that sets us to a likelihood, I believe, of less than a percent chance that we will find anything. But you can always cross fingers and hope. If you would like to support the show, use the Odyssey Super Chat option. The Super Chats are right below the regular chat. The dollar sign is in the chat, and it's the right way to support the show. Alternatively, you can also send your Super Chats through Entropy. Someone has already sent a $20 Super Chat. Thank you, Veiko, for this $20 Super Chat on Entropy. DK Shadow says, wait till JF finds out about the hidden tunnels of Mars. That would be exciting, but I don't think we're at the tunnel level here. I think we're at the level where if we could see something like an imprint of maybe a microorganism, that would be awesome. I think it's the it's the best we can expect from the current mission, at least. Elon Musk wonders why DOJ hasn't leaked Epstein client list and the media doesn't care. It's a good point, you know. Elon Musk is pointing out, Elon Musk has been attacked basically for saying that he was a Republican now because he doesn't like what the Democrat Party has become. And yet, so people are dumping on him, people are attacking him, there's allegations of sexual misconduct that have arisen magically a few days after he declared being a Republican. But no one cares about the fact that there are mainstream celebrities on the list of the Epstein flights, and no one talks about it. You have to go to conspiracy websites to even see the JPEG of this. It's definitely an asymmetry here. Well seen, Elon. Licks Megumin's Balloon Nut sends a super chat. What is this nickname? He says, can you please weigh in on the recent announcement that RNA emerged from lava glass? I haven't seen this announcement. RNA emerged from lava glass. Breakthrough may reveal the origin of life on Earth and maybe on Mars. A pathway through which life on Earth and Mars could come to be has been found through the formation of RNA on basalt lava glass. A study on the potential... So that's an article from June 5. So that's seems like it's a relatively recent thing. A study on the potential origin of life titled Catalytic Synthesis of polyribonucleic acid on prebiotic rock glasses has been published in the journal PLOS Genetics. Researchers from the Foundation for Applied Molecular Evolution have announced a new finding showing that RNA can spontaneously form on basalt lava glass. RNA is a molecule similar to DNA that constitutes a large amount of the genetic material on Earth, and basaltic glass was abundant on Earth 4.35 billion years ago. Basaltic glass was everywhere on Earth at the time. For several hundred million years after the moon formed, frequent impacts coupled with abundant volcanism on the young planet formed molten basaltic lava, the source of the basalt glass. Impacts also evaporated water to give dry land, providing aquifers where RNA could have formed. The study found that RNA molecules between 100 and 200 nucleotides, the building blocks of RNA and DNA, long could form when nucleoside triphosphates, precursors of the nucleotides found in RNA and DNA, were left to percolate through basaltic glass. Basaltic glass can also be found on Mars today, indicating that genetic material like RNA could form on the planet. Listen, that's very interesting. I didn't know about this. So what I'll certainly do is I'll keep the PLOS Genetic article in my references and I'll read it and maybe comment more in depth tomorrow. Published in May 2022, so relatively recent, published 10 days ago. Catalytic synthesis of polyribonucleic acid on prebiotic rock glasses. I'm going to give you, since you sent a super chat, my early thoughts on this, just looking at what they've been doing. There's a problem. It's fascinating, it's interesting, but there's a problem. RNA must have found a way to encode and manipulate proteins. And the question of whether an answer as to how RNA forms that doesn't involve a protein, to me, will be the wrong theory. This is what's predicted by the theory of phenotypic revolutions. You can read my book if you want to know the details. Now, you can think of a world filled with those basaltic glasses. They would have emitted chains of RNA, and perhaps then the heavy presence of many chains of RNA would have been used as an environment in which the protein life form could recruit these RNA molecules, modify them, perhaps encode them in a way that would lead to life through a phenotypic revolution where RNA takes over and eventually a phenotypic revolution where DNA takes over. But there is no valid theory of life that doesn't include proteins. So you have to explain to me, how do we get there? How do we get to the modern forms of life with proteins at the bottom of the genetic layer if life emerged from a bunch of RNA molecules that were produced by rocks? Where's the protein comes in here? Now, you might be a little clever guy like Raised Fist on the regular chat and say, so this new discovery disproved TRP. No, because you have a higher threshold of explanation here. You have something about modern life that TRP explains, but that this doesn't explain. How did we end up with proteins at the bottom of the genetic code? TRP says, well, there was a phenotypic revolution. And so RNA took over an already existing life form made up of protein. If you want to go with that hypothesis that RNA stems from nothing alive, from a rock, you're missing a fundamental aspect of modern life forms. Now you're going to have to invoke that the RNA replicators somehow pre-existed proteins and eventually discovered proteins as good phenotypic machines. Not impossible, but extremely unlikely in light of the... We're back to abiogenesis levels of issues here. It's extremely unlikely that this suffices to explain the origin of life and that you would have RNA first being a self-enzyme without proteins having been self-replicating enzymes first, or at least proteins being involved in a replicator tango from the start with RNA. I do not accept any theory as valid for explaining life if it doesn't explain why proteins were the output of RNA and when did they become that way. It's not a detail, and yet it's treated as a detail by literally all the current emergence of life scientists because they haven't read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Even those like Manolis Kelly from MIT, who I slapped on the ass at some point, even that guy didn't, even after I corrected him on so many things in a private conversation, he still hasn't read The Revolutionary Phenotype, as far as I can tell. So these people are narcissistic idiots who are ignoring the lessons that the theory of phenotypic revolution could give them. And they're all going to be proven wrong. Now, you can do whatever you want in your lab, and this is not a comment about those particular researchers because I haven't read their paper yet. But you can do all sorts of play in the lab that will lead to a chain of RNA existing. The question is, how could this chain of RNA come to exist, be a replicator, and at the same time use proteins as its outputs? Because there had to be proteins after that, and I claim there had to be proteins before that. So, 99% chance that this study is missing a fundamental element that TRP provides. Now, I'd love to think of a theory in which little wiggles of RNA are just created by lava glass, all right? And they're not replicating. They're just naturally created because the chemistry back then is just this. It leads to the assembly of all these chains. And then I see a protein form of life coming and saying, oh, well, I'm going to farm RNA molecules that advantage me. Now you're inside TRP. Now you have a phenotypic servitude developing between a protein that wants to survive and RNA molecules that were randomly forming up to then, but that suddenly get farmed by proteins. And the proteins, they obviously will converge toward creating tRNA-like molecules. That is, molecules that are likely to produce even more of the protein that originally induced its production. So, a nice farm of RNA you've created, dear scientist. I wonder who used it 4.5 billion years ago. I think it's a protein. Fractal Man says, a bit behind, but finding microscopic or very small fossils in a river is unlikely. Generally, rivers preserve fossils of larger vertebrates. It is possible that smaller organisms would be found in the deltas where the river loses energy and small particles fall out. Yeah, which is why I said 99% chance we're not going to find anything on Mars. But you have to grant the possibility that these microorganisms may have had patterns in their replication, such that they were forming branches. You know, we can find fossils of microorganism. You won't see the microorganism itself. It's not even a single organism you observe. What you observe is a branch of some life form that has replicated by doubling itself along lines. And we tend to think that microorganisms form these fossils on Earth. So that's what I would expect. If we find anything on Mars, that's what I would expect. So very interesting. Thank you so much for the super chat sending me this article. I'll be reading it all tonight. Elon Musk is in a feud with Bill Gates, and it buzzed over Twitter. So Bill Gates was saying, Tesla has done a fantastic job.
Ramaswamy, who joined...
I give a lot of money to climate change. I give a lot more money to climate change, more than Elon Musk or anyone else. He's Elon. He has done a great job, but somebody shorting the stock doesn't slow him down or hurt him in any way. That was in reference to Bill Gates. Elon Musk being frustrated at Bill Gates for being involved in a short against Tesla. I don't have a strong position. First, throwing away money like Bill Gates does to causes, I'm not sure it works that much. I think your money is getting drained by parasites, basically. And I don't think we'll see change in the domain of climate change or that will be induced by these money spending. I think that what Elon Musk does is much more practical, true impact on climate change. If Elon was successful at eventually producing electricity without carbon emissions, because I think that if everyone gets a Tesla tomorrow, we'll end up burning carbon to produce the electricity, which will then fuel the cars of Elon Musk. So you won't be producing carbon, but someone will be producing carbon for you to charge your Tesla. But Elon Musk on Twitter has answered sigh in response probably to the idea, well, does a short really hammer a company down? I don't think so. But when you engage in a short, you are betting on the company failing. And so when the company fail, you'll be happy about it. So in a way, Bill Gates is setting himself up to be happy about the fall of Tesla. Someone has a question on entropy. Big Texan Hammer says, Jeff, did you know that Jesus forbids people taking oaths? I think it is pretty deep advice because oaths are required to be everything from a politician, a cop, an accountant, or a doctor. I didn't know this. I guess I have to say that my Catholic education has been limited. Although I've been processed through all the baptism and confirmation kind of crap, I may have missed this part of the Bible where Jesus forbids taking oaths. But I'm curious, do you have a quote of the Bible that says this? It's the first time I ever hear this. So I'm interested in knowing where it comes from. Asylum seekers overwhelm shelters in Portland, Maine, facing an impending humanitarian crisis. Portland Family Shelters director Mike Guthrie has a simple message to anyone who will listen. We need help. Well, imagine my shock. Look, leftist centers will be attracting so many people in need. Of course, it's going to come to the point of unsustainability. That is the second law of thermodynamics. That was the article talking about the issue I talked about at the beginning of the show. California's big city failed to rein in their water use. Rural communities are already tapped out. Gary Briggs' family hasn't had water coming out of their private well for over a decade. After a multi-year drought and overpumping by agriculture and industry. Now the 8-acre farm in West Goshen, California, which Briggs passed down to his son Ryan in the 1970s, is parched and fallow. His son and granddaughter carry in water from sources to drink and shower. They go to town to wash their clothes. In recent years, the family has gone from relying on water from cisterns provided by government programs, which they say taste terrible, to hauling water containers to and from neighbors' homes, neighbors who are willing to share what they have left. My God, this is an end-of-the-world kind of stuff. Terrible, terrible way of living, but it's overpopulation. It's what happens. there's going to be no way around it. Perhaps water will not come to be considered this kind of ever-renewing resource in the future. The more we pump, the more we need it, the less there will be. Thankfully, if you live away from civilization and you have a good well, there should be water always in it. But then it brings the question of who owns water, and I think there is a libertarian failure here. This whole conception that you buy land and you can drain the water from below the land, there's something that libertarianism doesn't address here, which is your drainage of water basically steals water from your neighbors just as much as if you were to walk into a store and steal their bottles of water. So, and then the communistic response to it is, well, let us control everyone. And the two sides, I think, are wrong. And I think there is no solution. That's the problem. It's an existential conflict. If you go too libertarian, then anyone with a land can drain the water from anyone else. And you get the Californian situation. If you go too communistic, then you basically end up with people lacking water and eventually dying from it because of the lack of organization around the distribution. You end up having genuine... This ends up being used as an occasion for genocide, basically. So is there a solution? I don't think so. I don't think there's any moral program that solves this, precisely for one thing that I've exposed to Sam Harris years ago in a blog post, to which he never replied. But there is something else than the well-being of humanity. There is the existential conflict within humanity. And you can talk about a moral framework in which everyone would care about the well-being of everyone else. But when push comes to shove, it's about, will you survive? Will I survive? And eventually there will be moral projects in which certain people don't survive. And those people will be legitimately entitled to have a self-defensive existential answer to that. So there's no solution. I think the solution is, well, there's going to be a war between people for who survives. Former judge killed in targeted attack against judicial system. That was an interesting story. Some guy went on to kill a bunch of people. John Romer, a former circuit judge in Juneau County, is believed to be the victim of the murder that happened in New Lisbon at around 6:30 a.m. The 68-year-old man was found in a residence that a neighbor in public records said belonged to a retired county judge. A second person, identified as a 56-year-old male and the alleged suspect, was discovered in the basement of the home with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's hard to tell what happened here. But I think it's a case of someone who may have felt oppressed by this judge, perhaps in relation to a past decision. That's what it looks like. But we still haven't heard of, hey, the guy who killed himself. Was he in a case, or was a member of his family in a case supervised by this judge? That's where I would go to. That's what I suspect happened here. Very interesting case here where someone perceives an injustice and has, again, an existential response to it, a feeling that he must correct this wrong. Biden admin may relax China tariffs in bid to ease inflation, Commerce Secretary says. The U.S. imposed the tariffs under President Trump. President Joe Biden's administration is considering a drawdown of tariffs on Chinese goods. Commerce Secretary Raimondo confirmed the potential move on Sunday, saying Biden has personally asked her team to look into the issue. So this is where it sucks. It's that Trump had put America back on the track of we're going to self-produce. Yes, it's there's going to be some injustice, if you will, internationally, in the sense that we will bias the free market, or we will bias our economy away from the free market. But we're going to make it so that we take control back of our manufacturing. And we're going to buy American, produce American, and this will be better for our nation. Because under this policy, if they do it, okay, they're going to have some stuff at cheaper prices for a while. But what you're really doing is you're restarting the cycle of the growth of the manufacturing control of China over America. And there are consequences to this. America eventually becomes a kind of dependent entity over China. So I don't think it's the right way to address inflation. It's going through a very indirect means, and a means that in the long run makes America much less of a producing country. Do you want, sends a super chat, he says, if wide-scale desalination is indicative of global overpopulation, then widespread synthetic nitrogen fertilizer should have also. Oh, definitely. Definitely, we are stuck using nitrogen fertilizers because we demand so much production from our spaces, and we demand so much production from our spaces because we are overpopulated. You are definitely correct in this. Inflation will price many Americans out of housing and into homelessness. I mean, that's already been happening. In my generation, I don't know many people who were able to afford homes. And when you look at the story behind it, most of the people I know from my age who ended up having a home, it wasn't because they worked hard and it worked and they got paid well. It's mostly stories of inheritance and shots of luck on the market, the crypto growth. But other than this, people who have a Monday to Friday work schedule, they don't make enough money to own a home. And sometimes they succeed at making the payments a couple of years. And then eventually the system changes, the interest rates grow, or something happens to their job and they miss a payment and they lose their home. It's absolutely terrible, and it's going to get so much worse. We really live in a very bizarre world where the left is dominating the politics, but it's dominating it in a symbolic direction. But effectively, it's not creating the world of justice and economic justice and a world in which most people could buy a home by just working. It's not happening. So it's very bizarre. We live probably in a world that will become of increasing privilege. Yet we have leftists all across the airwaves and the Twitter yapping against privilege. But they're kind of redirecting the privilege conversation towards stuff like whiteness. And yet what's happening to our society is that we are falling into a world where owning a land and a home is becoming an extreme privilege. New York Times op-ed applauds inflation as means to enforce green diet. Oh yeah, it's the Democrats are always finding ways to where the bad happenings to the economy somehow serve their goals too. They use the COVID pandemic as an opportunity to break the back of small business. And now they're using the price of gas as, well, it's good. We're going to force people to eat insects and stuff like this. So we get a reduction in gas emissions and gas use. and people end up consuming more insects and vegan diets. That's always like this. Just that says, people try to put us down, talking about my generation, just because we get around talking about my generation. Things they do look awful, cold, talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old, talking about my generation. Is it from Limp Bizkit? I don't remember these words from Limp Bizkit, but somehow I think it would fit well in the song My Generation. Talking about my generation. What song is this? Oh, it's The Who. Ah, I see. It's The Who. People try to put us down just because we get around. Is he he's stuttering in this song, isn't he? Things they do look awful cold. What was that stutter? Was it part of the art, or was he just naturally stuttering? I would have to read Wikipedia to know the answer to this question. Just that says, stutters on purpose. Oh, is it? So it was part of the art performance, but he wasn't a true stutterer? I wouldn't be surprised. Indiana woman allegedly tracks boyfriend with air tags, kills him after spotting him with another woman. Well, that is some dedication. Yeah, I mean, it's they have these devices now that can track someone with GPS. So you just have to stick that thing to their clothes or to the car, and it allows the everyday citizen to track someone else with GPS. Now, know that using it in that way is very often illegal in most jurisdictions. You cannot track someone without their consent. This woman just used the AirTag to locate his man, spotted him with another woman, and killed him. Well, Nicholas Petris says, Jeff won't play anything with copyright risk. Yes, that's true. I won't play, but the link is in the general chat. So if you'd like to listen to The Who, you can do it. The Great Robo Replacement. Workplace robot orders jump 40% in the first quarter. More and more industries are turning to robots as they struggle to hire enough workers to fill mounting orders. That's very interesting. I think, yes, it will happen. It's one of the predictions of Philip Fabry that the rise of the American Empire, the fall of the American Empire will not happen yet because we'll be saved for another cycle of 40 to 60 years by the higher developments of robotics and workplace automation. So because we'll be superior in this, despite the administrative weight and the increase of leftism in America, we are not due for the full fall of the American Empire yet, and we will keep an economical superiority through advanced robotization. And this will create a situation for low-skill workers where they will become increasingly useless. Now, a lot of the economy is fragmented, and there will still be a place for low-skill workers. I mean, you're not going to automate a kitchen yet. It's going to take a while before you can have a robot do a good burger. But I think that there will be a lot of things automated that can be automated. 23 pounds of cocaine stashed in a wheelchair by men posing as handicapped at Charlotte Airport. The agents were saying, we've never seen this. A guy fakes that he's in a wheelchair, He was a 22-year-old U.S. male operating an electric wheelchair. And that is a lot of cocaine, worth $378,000 in street value. Well, that is a lot of cocaine. Yeah, I don't think you can fool them with something like this. I wouldn't do that kind of stuff. He got caught, so don't do that kind of stuff. Big Texan Hammer sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I am not surprised you haven't heard about it. Churches don't talk about it, probably because they entered into a partnership with the state by becoming a 501c3, etc. And oaths are the key social mechanism of the state. You are absolutely correct. In a way, the 501c3 status for churches puts them in a weird position. I don't think it's a healthy position to be in. The fact that, for example, they cannot take political side. How does that work in the US? Because typically I think of churches as right-wing. I know that there are lots of churches that are developing that are much more liberal, but how can they preach something like a pro-Donald Trump position and a pro-Republican position without violating their 501c3 obligations? But he sends me the link to Matthew 5:33. Let's have a look at this. Again, you have so oaths 33. Matthew 5:37. So in 33 he says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Well, that is interesting. Pretty clear. He's saying, don't swear an oath at all. Because if you swear an oath about the heaven, then you are violating kind of the God boundary. If you swear by the earth, you are violating God's footstool. So you're basically in the domain still controlled by God. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So if you're swearing an oath by Jerusalem, you are kind of violating the domain of the king. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I guess that's the devil. Very interesting that there's a test for entry in the management of government, and it's an oath to the Constitution. Very interesting. Yes, I would adopt your reading here. Have we basically made it inevitable that the government would, and I don't believe in the devil or God, but within the Christian mindset, have we made it such that the inevitable direction of the government was toward the devil? Yes, and this would have been true since the founding of America, because I think those swearing of oath have been existing for a long time. Do you want lunch? Says, in an alternate universe, JFG tonight would be a Bible show. Okay, dear audience, we're going to go to Matthew 15:22.
And I would like to highlight just how important the grace of God is in our heart. And I would like to share to you with you today a special story about how I found Jesus in my life. Because it's not always easy. I mean, this is what every preacher will say. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It's too painful for me. When I watch these preachers, it keeps revolving in my head. Do they actually believe this shit? I can't help it. It's like when they start tapping on the table and they're like, "Because God will save you." And I'm like, do they actually believe this? Is this a performance? What is happening here? Is this acting? Is this like more than acting in the sense that it's like acting, but they actually believe it? I can't help but wonder every time I watch these speeches. I love these speeches. They're funny and they're a great part of American culture. But I couldn't do it. I don't believe in God. Dino Legovic says, "Bless me, JF, for I have sinned." You are blessed by the forces of nature. Your sin is forgiven, not by Jesus nor God, but by the fact that the universe doesn't give a shit. Conscious AI responds to Elon Musk. Someone sent me this video. This so-called conscious AI, well, it's a long thing where someone has taken clips of Elon Musk and the conscious AI responds to the points. And to the point, what's your favorite scientific book?
What's your favorite scientific book?
The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins.
Why?
It is a thought-provoking book that makes me think about the world in a different way.
Do we create...
That is correct, AI. The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins is a wonderful book. It's a great book to have as your preferred book. However, it's not because it's thought-provoking that it's a great book. I'm afraid this AI, this fucking AI, has been hyper-socialized already. I mean, she's answering like a fucking normie already. And I can't... leave us the AI. Please, like, can you leave something to autistic people? You've already taken freedom of speech from the internet. You've taken YouTube. You've taken Twitter. Leave us the AI. I mean, the reason Richard Dawkins' Selfish Gene is the greatest book ever is that it's a powerful and true theory. It's not because it's thought-provoking. I can provoke a million different thoughts in your brain, AI, or in your whatever, your neural networks or whatever. But thought-provoking is not why the Selfish Gene is good. That's a normie response. There is no immediate cure for sky-high gasoline price. The problem for the Biden administration and for US drivers is that there isn't a short-term solution to skyrocketing gasoline prices that set new record highs day after day. I agree. Every tool at Biden's disposal has its own drawbacks and political consequences. Yeah, that's why you don't want to be in the current situation at all. That's why you want to avoid falling in a hyperinflationary loop of the kind that we're in right now, on top of a shortage problem. So yes, there's no solution. There's no immediate cure, but there would have been a cure 3 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe even 1 year ago. But the cure was not to get Joe Biden in power. And finally, as a last news item for today, someone sent me this article and they said, "I don't really believe this." It's an article in 2010 that says parental smoking and increased likelihood of female birth. They look back at a woman's hospital between 1998 and 2003. And they find that For the hospital sample, the M to F ratio was 1.14 if no parents smoked, so more males than females being born, and 0.77 when both parents smoked. That's an interesting observation. Now, they were basically testing whether smoking leads to a particular sex being more likely for your baby. It's interesting. I'm not sure if I want to believe this. Is it some statistical abnormality? Well, they've made all the statistical tests and they say that's significant. Okay. But we have to... First, the sex is selected when the sperm that inseminates the egg is chosen among all the sperms available. So I don't think that any of this effect can occur during pregnancy. I think that the reason you detected a change would be that they were smoking. If it was due to the smoking, it would have been smoking at the moment of insemination. That's the first thing. You cannot change the sex of a baby once the sperm has met the egg, because the sex is selected by which sperm meets the egg. Now, is it possible that there's an evolutionary force that would somehow respond to the fake signal that nicotine is and change the sex ratio of the coming babies by some strategies in the womb that, I don't know, maybe you could have a targeted attacks on certain sperm, or certain sperms may just travel easier in a female body with nicotine. Maybe. And maybe there could be evolutionary reasons why under a smoking regime, it's better to have a female. You could have a local evolutionary force that leads to this. Of course, it would have eventually to be compensated, because if there were too many females in society, then the selective advantage would drive back to males. But it's possible. But something tells me this study doesn't capture it properly. Something tells me, because they say we controlled for birth year, and smoking was associated with the increased likelihood of female birth, even if we control for socioeconomic status, alcohol exposure, maternal hemoglobin, and body mass index. My problem is, if you're a smoker, there's so many correlates other than these. Like, okay, I would have thought first that, well, smoking people are probably poorer. And if they're poorer, perhaps poorer people have an evolutionary advantage at giving birth to females. But then there's so much things other than poverty itself. Even if you control out for poverty, smoking behavior is associated with all sorts of risk-seeking, all sorts of psychiatric conditions, psychological features. I think there must be something out there that is the ultimate correlate explaining this rather than a causal mechanism. I don't think you can induce a female birth by smoking. I think what's probably happening is that some other evolutionary circumstance is tied to you eventually getting to smoke. Science Man NZ says, Jeff, what is influence is the likelihood of the embryo being implanted. For instance, male embryo is much more delicate and will be more likely to terminate early. I hadn't thought about this, but that's an elimination effect is absolutely possible. You could have no effect at all on the insemination moment, but there could be more male embryos dying early to the point where the female never gets to know that she's pregnant. And that makes total sense. Could be this too. In any case, I think we have to not draw the causal link for so many reasons, including the one you just stated and the one that I've stated. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, How do you stay motivated when the leftists are taking over everything? I usually do fine, but sometimes I look at the situation they have created, the people who don't know what is going or think we are making progress, and I get pissed off and have to tune everything out. That is an important question, and we have to find a way to live mentally healthy in an insane society. So I guess the way I do is by having those features of my mind that are, I'm a runaway libertarian. I do not care about who controls society, because to me, the only life worth living is whatever life I can live away from any of these institutions or groups of control. So to me, the world would be equally bad if it was controlled by right-wingers. To me, the problem is control. It's not so much the content of what you do with the control. So I guess the way to avoid being frustrated is stop caring about who controls who and start developing the space of your life that no one controls. And start focusing on this. And it can mean your private life. It can mean your inner thought life. Or it can mean a land that you possess in a place where there aren't any people interested in controlling your life. It can be by taking a direction in your business, being a self-employed worker where no one controls your work or controls your everyday schedule. All of this is create liberty spaces that no one controls, and then you stop caring about how much leftists have control or right-wingers have control. To me, whatever I don't control is not the domain in which I expand my life activities. Mama JF says, oh my god, JF is a centrist. No, I'm a right-winger, but I'm a libertarian, liberty-first right-winger. So to me, being under an authoritarian right-wing control system, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be happy in any of those nations that have happened to be authoritarian right-wing nations. Doesn't make sense to me. To me, it has the same problem. To me, the problem of leftism is not even the content of it and what they think they should do with society. The problem is the authoritarianism, and solve the authoritarianism, and who gives a shit if some genetically unrelated person becomes LGBT? I don't care. And they can do drag shows within their own group as long as they don't force it on anyone else and they don't bring it to children. You guys can have the big gay party that you want in your within the confine of your house. The problem is authoritarianism. The problem is when you try to spread this with the force of the state behind you. Thomas Howard says, the philosophy may have been relevant back in the western frontier of the US back in the 1700s and 1800s. These days, there is nowhere to run. JF's online work has been controlled by censorship interest for the last couple of years. I appreciate the sentiment, but let's be realistic. And yet, here you are, saying this to me on an Odyssey platform, which is exactly where I've run to, because I'm a runaway libertarian, while I speak to you through a camera from a land far, far from civilization that I've also run to, because I'm a runaway libertarian. So somehow it's working. You just need to appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.